All right, if you would this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and also 2 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 11 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I missed out on the joke this morning about turning to the scriptures apparently or something along that line, and I don't know what if Jerry said something about me derogatory or not, but I will admit right off that I have a hard time sometimes getting you to the right place. But with your direction and your look like, what are you talking about, it always helps. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Of course, today is Father's Day. And I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of you men that are fathers and those that aren't, to all of the men. I'm very thankful for faithful men. And I'm very thankful for my dad. He died at the age of 84 years old in 1994. And was a great, great influence in my life. He was a Christian man. He got saved when I was 3 years old. At that time when he got saved, he was an alcoholic. And his life was just in shambles. And he got saved. And as far as I know, he never took another drink of liquor, and he was a wonderful man. We had some real good discussions about the scriptures, about the Word of God. But the one thing we never disagreed on was salvation by grace through faith, that you were saved by believing the gospel, trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I mentioned to you several times before, one of his greatest enjoyments in life was arguing with all of his Church of God relatives about once saved, always saved. As soon as they walked in the door, within 5 minutes, there was going to be some kind of argument started by him, because he knew none of them believed in eternal security, and he did. And so we had some good discussions, and I'm very thankful for the things that he taught me through discipline, about hard work, and about things like that. And as I've mentioned many times, there's not many days that go by that I don't think about my mom and dad, but particularly my dad and the things that he instructed me about as a young man. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, in the passage, Paul obviously is talking about those that were teaching, but I wanted to just pull a phrase from there, and that phrase being faithful men. I'm very thankful for men in my life over the years that have been faithful. I'm thankful for Brother E.C. Moore, who was a faithful saint of God that preached to me the Word of God rightly divided. I'm thankful for a man by the name of Cornelius Stamm that I listened to many tapes by and read his book, Things That Differ. I'm thankful for the faithful men of this church who over the years have, many have been here before I ever came, who have stood for the truth of the Word rightly divided, and this church is here today and people are able to attend here today and listen to the Word of God preached because there were men who loved the Lord and loved the Word of God and gave of their time, and not only their time but their money, that we might maintain a local assembly here. And those of you that have been here for many years will know what I'm talking about. You'll remember the many special offerings to pay off the bond issues and the debts that we had. And you can go, I mean, that's a, we really ought to write a book. The fact is that there were some faithful, and I'm not dismissing the women. There, the women that stood by, I appreciate likewise, but there were some men who stood for the truth, believed it, and were not going to be moved. And regardless of how bad things got, we stood together, and this assembly exists today because of faithfulness, because people were faithful. And I thank God for those people every day almost in thinking about this work in this assembly. Those that made this possible. The men that pastored here, Brother Frank Lowry, Brother Art Watkins, and then me. And I'm very thankful that there have been faithful men in my life that have been an example to me. I want to ask you this morning, though, about how faithful are you? Could you be considered, or are you considered by the Lord, a faithful man? Now, there's a lot of areas of life that we could look at and talk about being faithful, being a faithful husband, being a faithful father, being a faithful saint. But you know, I think it all starts with being faithful to the Lord and to His Word. Because you know, you can be faithful in a lot of things that they might be important physically, but spiritually they might not hold a great deal of importance. But the one thing we can be sure of is that we always need to start by being faithful to God's Word and faithful to God's work. God Almighty has given us, as members of His body, a great place of responsibility. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, one simple verse here that speaks volumes. Paul says there in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 11, 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, a lot of times men like to just kind of exert, you know, take one part of that verse out where it says the head of the woman is the man, and they give very little attention to the two other parts of the verse. And can I say to you this morning that that verse really speaks to the great responsibility that we have as men when it says that the head of every man is Christ. We are not to operate independently on our own opinions, our own thoughts. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And men are faced continually with a way that seemeth right and the way that is right, and that is the Word of God. And as a man who is a husband, a father, or just an individual, we need to understand that we have the responsibility of God, of the responsibility to God, to do things His way, to do things according to the Scripture, according to the Word of God. And it starts with our understanding of the responsibility that we have that is a result of the authority that God has given us. So what are you talking about, authority? Well, the Bible says right here, the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God. God created an order. God desires always that things be done decently and in order. And so He said that the head of Christ is God. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself stepped down from heaven's glory, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and He was submissive to the will of His Father, God Almighty. He prayed over and over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that He might do the will of the Father. In the garden, He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thy will be done." And so God, or Paul outlines through the Holy Spirit here, the order that God has set. There is God, there is Christ, there is the man, and there's the woman in the particular verse. And we know, of course, the children are mentioned in several places. By the way, this will be the third message on the home. We did one on Mother's Day about faithful women. We did one about children, and this one, and those will be available on CD if you would like them. Now, some people have asked me that, so I want to mention it. The point I want to make here in talking about the responsibility of the man is the fact that we as fathers, or even simply as husbands, maybe don't have any children, have a great responsibility, and that responsibility, you see, with authority also comes responsibility. And I've said many times that there are multitudes of men that call themselves Christians, and they will run to the Scriptures, and they will take the verses about the wife being in submission and so forth to be a dogmatic and sometimes mean and cruel leader or head, rather than doing it in the way that God has instructed that it be done. We do have the responsibility as head of the house. As that, in that responsibility, we have the responsibility to be the teacher. We have the responsibility to be the provider. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy 5, in verse 8, Paul says there, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." In 1 Thessalonians 3, he said, "If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat." So number one, the man is to be the physical provider. And what we have to keep in mind, folks, is that's just the starting point. God Almighty has set the order in the Word of God. He's instructed the men what their responsibilities are. He instructed the women what their responsibilities are. He's instructed the children what their responsibilities are. But where it comes right down to it is, are we willing to obey those instructions? Look over in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Notice that the aged men, and we've got some of those here. I'm not there yet, but I'm just kidding. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part may be ashamed, not having no evil thing to say of you." So it's important then that we understand we have a responsibility not only as men but as women, as children, to be obedient to the Word of God and to operate on the basis of what the book says rather than what we feel to be right. We need the instruction of God's Word. Now, when I think about being a father and the responsibility of a father, I always, and I find myself doing this in many areas, but in a family situation, a husband-wife situation, I think about the fact that we are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you're not a child of God today, you're outside the family of God. And you don't get into the family of God by joining a church. You don't get in there by repeating prayers. If you're not in the family of God this morning, all that means is you've never been saved. And if you've never been saved, it's very simple. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul said that the gospel is the power of God and the salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Church membership, religious affiliation has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is what you're trusting in. It's not praying for forgiveness of sins. The Bible says He's forgiven you all trespasses. It's not saying the sinner's prayer. It's not coming to the altar. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. So if you're not saved this morning, you can be saved simply by trusting in what Jesus Christ did. And by the way, when you do that, the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." So you can be saved and you can be baptized this morning. Now we're not going to fill up the pool. People say, "You don't believe in baptism." Oh yeah, we believe in baptism. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. If you trusted Christ this morning, you'd be baptized. Wouldn't take a drop of water to do it. you'd be part of the family of God. In the family of God, I see that God Almighty cares for us as His children. And I think about many times how that really I believe that God Almighty desires for me as a father, for us as fathers, to be to our family as God is to us as members of His body. In other words, God is the head, Christ, then man, then woman. We are to reflect that which God says for us to do. We are to be under our family what God would have us to be. So I want to just look at three or four things. Number one, God always loves His children. Now, here again, you know, when you talk about love, and I did a study a few Sunday nights back on charity, and talked about charity and love. I feel like you always have to preface it by telling people that when we use the word love, I'm talking about the love that the Bible talks about. We just use one word for love that in Greek there were many words for love, but the word love today is thrown around so much that we really miss the point. The Bible is clear that God loved us and gave His Son for us. So I know that love has to do with giving. It has to do with giving of self. And it's interesting today how many times that, or how much in our society, men have come to the point where they feel like if they give their children the physical things, if they give their children entertainment, if they give their children money or iPods or iPads or stereo systems or TVs, that they have fulfilled their ministry as a father. Can I say to you, men, your children need you more than they need anything physically you can give them. They need your time. They need you as an individual to love them and to care about them and to do things with them and to be there for them. And that doesn't always mean just doing what you want to do and dragging them along. It means being unto them a father that loves them and cares about them. One of the great things that men have to guard against is this thing about, and I've faced this many times, particularly as a younger man, many times men believe that they have demonstrated their love sufficiently simply by going out and working and providing a living. Now that's a big thing. I highly recommend it. And I think I've always told young people, I don't have anything against people. I think if you're going to work 8 hours a day, you ought to do the very best you can at whatever you can and make as much money as you can. Because the more you make, the more you can give. No, I mean, listen, you know, this thing about the love of money is root of all evil. That's not what it says. It said the love of money is the desire for the money is where the evil is. But the point is I'm making is that there's nothing wrong with a man working and making money. That's his responsibility. He's to provide for his own. If you got to work, do the very best you can, whatever you're doing. But always remember that in itself is not going to be enough for your family to know that you love them. You see, we do that hopefully because that's what we're told to do. You know, it's like when in our younger years, Mary used to always, well, you just never tell me you love me. And you know, women are like that. They want to be told that you love them. I always liked the philosophy that my boss took. He told his wife, he said, listen, I love you. I want you to know that right now, and if it ever changes, I'll let you know. Now, that's kind of the easy way out. But I remember conversations Mary and I had, and you know what was in the back of my mind? She said, well, you know, I don't feel like you love you. You don't show me you love. And I'm thinking, I don't show you I love you. I get up every morning, go to work, provide a home, provide electricity and groceries and all that. And you see, in a man's thinking, He believes that that ought to be enough. And it ought to be appreciated. But man, there needs to be more than that as far as demonstrating our love toward our family. God loves us, and He gave Himself for us. He gave His Son that He might die for our sins. He demonstrated His love. God's a God of love. Not only that, but God is a God of grace and forgiveness. You see, grace is unmerited favor. When we talked about the children, at the end of the message, I remember making a point that children, they may grow up into adults, but they never cease being the children of their parents. As children that are living in the home, they are to obey their parents. But there's another command through the Apostle Paul, and he says that we are to honor our parents. That never should cease. There should always be honor for our parents and respect. And I think in my own case, I see that that goes even beyond the grave. I have great honor and respect for my parents and love for them. But the point is that we, as fathers and mothers, as parents, no matter how old our children get, we never cease being parents. Now, the responsibilities change. The authority changes. We don't. The best thing adults can do as parents when they have grown children is just to butt out and let the children do their own thing, make their own mistakes. But you need to always be there for them when there's a need. You see, God Almighty does not control us. God Almighty does not dictate everything we do. He gives us instructions. He gives us information to function on. But He doesn't make us do something. We operate on the basis of free will. But you know what? God is always our Father. He always loves us. He cares about us. And thank God He doesn't turn His back on us when we make mistakes and become a total flop and failure. Parents, you have the responsibility to love your children, to stand by them, to cherish them, and to be unto them all you can be as a parent, no matter what age you are in life. And as I said, obviously, when a man or a woman leave home, they become one with another. They become independent. And the worst thing that parents can do is to meddle in the lives of their children and try to dictate what they do and so forth. Just let them, when they come to you, that's one thing. But we need to understand that we, even though we are parents, we need to operate as God operates on the basis of His grace and His forgiveness and His love and His kindness. A father is to love his family, he's to love his children, as God loves us as members of the body, as members of His family. A man is to extend grace unto his family. You know, the Old Testament, under the Old Testament system of the law, performance was of utmost importance. The law always said that if you will do thus and so, then God will bless you. If you will respond, if you will keep my commandments. And that law system is that if system that we talk about was always based upon the response of the individual, the performance of the individual. The sad thing is that today, even though we're under the dispensation of grace, living in the dispensation of grace, and we understand God's dealing with us on grace, many times we find it hard to extend to people that same grace that God has extended to us. What am I talking about? Well, any time that you require something of your spouse to be acceptable to you, then that's not grace. If your spouse has to perform in order for you to love them and cherish them and so forth, that's not grace. You see, it's easy to love one another when everything's going good. It's easy to love each other when everything is happy and congenial and that kind of thing. But are you really willing to show grace when that individual that you live with is not being what you think they ought to be? Which sometimes is not really what they ought to be anyway. But the point is, we have in our mind what we want from our spouse, what we want from the people that we live with. And when they fail to meet up to those expectations, many times we withdraw. We withdraw our love and our affection and our grace toward them. Well, the Bible says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You received Him by grace. Therefore, you ought to walk in the grace of God and extend the same grace to people that you're associated with, whether you want to or not. You see, this thing of extending grace to people is so difficult in our life because we are so judgmental many times. Not just in the family situation, but in life in general. We see people and they're saved and they don't live like we think they ought to live, and maybe they don't do the things like we think they ought to do them, and so we withdraw our fellowship. We withdraw our love from them. Sometimes it happens in extended family. Sometimes it happens with friends. Well, listen, folks, God Almighty desires that we extend grace to people, unmerited favor, and receive them just as God Almighty, for Christ's sake, hath received us in grace, in love, kindness, forbearance, long-suffering. And that should particularly be true in the family. God is a God of grace. He's a God of forgiveness. Aren't you glad God doesn't hold grudges? I mean, think about it. You know, some people have God up there like he's got a big old hammer or something, and every time you step out of line, he's just going to pound you with it. Well, if he did, we'd all be pounded to death. We're living in grace, folks. God's not exercising his judgment on us today. He's exercising his grace. That's why people can do the things they do and still be walking around, because God's not pouring out his wrath today. He's operating on the basis of grace and mercy, and kindness. And he desires that we operate on the same basis. So the man has the responsibility to love his family, to extend grace, to extend forgiveness, and to be the example of grace in the household. Not only that, we find that God Almighty instructs his children. You know, folks, he has given us everything we need to function in this present dispensation through his word. The Bible said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, whenever I am functioning and trying to do the work of the ministry, sometimes you feel quite inadequate. But I always think about those verses when I do, because I know that God has given me all I need. You know, I'm glad I don't have to go to school, or didn't have to go to school for 4 years to learn to be a preacher. And then maybe go 2 more years to get a doctorate degree or whatever. Now, I'm not against education, but I want to tell you something. You don't need an education at a highfalutin seminary somewhere to preach the Word of God. What you need is instruction from the Word of God. Believe it means what it says and stand for that and preach it, teach it. God instructs us, is my point. As a father, as a husband, you ought to be to your family as God is to you, in that you ought to be the source of instruction, of edification to your family, to instruct them, to direct them in the ways of the Lord. The Bible said, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look back over in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, I always found it interesting that the Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 2 says that the women are to be keepers at home and so forth, and he tells the women there to raise, bring up children, guide the home, and yet in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, he says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That tells me that the responsibility for bringing up the children is not solely that of the mothers, as so many people seem to think. He said, "Fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." How is that? Because the father is to be the spiritual head and the director and the leader in that family to instruct them, just as God instructs us through His Word. You need to get in this book, study this book, and understand the Word of God so that you can be to your family what God is to us, and that is to instruct them through the Word of God. Now, obviously, there is nothing wrong with women studying the Bible. They should. But I'm talking about the responsibility that God has given. He has given to the man to instruct the family, to teach them. Say, "Well, I don't have a saved husband. I don't have a husband at all." Well, then study the Word. But husbands that are saved have the responsibility to be the teacher, to instruct. And then the last thing I want to mention is that, similar to what I mentioned a moment ago, and that is that God never forsakes His family. He never forsakes us. The Bible says, well, let's look at Romans chapter 8 rather than me trying to quote it. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth it. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus told His disciples, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And God says right here to us, He said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Aren't you glad that your sinfulness doesn't separate you from the love of God? Because you're in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad today that your attitude doesn't separate you from the love of God? Aren't you glad that God doesn't withdraw His blessing from you just because you don't go to church and give you money and do the things that religion tells you got to do in order to be acceptable to God? Listen, folks, you've got a relationship. If you're saved, you've got a relationship with God Almighty that cannot be broken. You are sealed into the day of redemption. And I believe that as fathers, we ought to be to our family as God is to us, never forsaking His children. Never turning our back on them. They might do that which we despise. They might be that which we don't like. But that is not the issue. They will never be not our children. There is that old saying I used to hear my parents use, "Blood is thicker than water." Well, the fact is, we have a great responsibility as men to be the leaders, not only in the family, but in the church body here. I thank God for the men who over the years have stood for the truth, as I said, and those who have recently come here and stand for the truth. But listen, men, we need for the men to be the backbone. Had somebody remark a while back, they said, you know, the church is really unusual. As a matter of fact, somebody, I think, said this last week at the Bible study in Kentucky. He said, your church is real unusual. He said, you got a lot of men there. He said, most churches where you go to, it's mostly women. Well, you know, I'm thankful for that. I want the women to come too. But I understand that the backbone, the leadership is of the men. And we want everybody to be equally welcome and a part of this fellowship and take the responsibility that God has given each one of us. Husbands, wives, children, consider that God Almighty cared enough that He wrote it down in His Word over and over again what our place is in His order for the family. And that is that there is the husband who is the head of the house, the wife who is of always equal importance, but is to be submissive to her own husband, and the children who are to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, taught and instructed the Word of God by the parents, starting with the leadership of a godly father. That's what God desires for us. Do we meet up to it? Obviously not always. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep trying. Paul told over in Ephesians, he said, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." You see, it's all about giving, men. It's all about selflessness, not selfishness. Giving of ourself, that we might be to those about us that which God would desire us to be. That is His will, according to His Word. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It may seem right, it may feel right, but listen, folks, there is only one way that is right, and that's God's way and God's Word. It's my prayer that all of us would take heed unto the things that are written unto us in the Word of God and walk according to those things, according to His Word and His will, that we might be ministers of His grace, whether it be in the home, in the church, in the workplace, or wherever we are, that we would do it for one reason and one reason only, for Christ's sake, because He loved us and gave Himself for us. Would you stand me for prayer? Our Father, we thank You this morning for the great responsibility that You've given us as men to be the leaders of the family, to be the leaders in the church. And Lord, we thank You today for men who have taken that responsibility. We know we're never perfect. We make mistakes. We fail. But Lord, help us today would be a day of renewal, when we would renew in our heart and mind the need to be the leader in the family that we ought to be, walking worthy of the vocation where we have been called, being instructed by Your Word, and being to those about us instructors of the Word. Lord, we thank You for the family as You instituted it, for the women, the children. And Lord, help us to realize that none are of lesser importance. We simply have different roles. And when we obey Your Word in the roles that You've given us, we understand that there's peace and joy and happiness. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's never trusted You as their Savior, they're not part of Your family, I pray today that they might realize and understand that the only way to be accepted is simply to trust in what You did for them at Calvary, receive You as their Savior, believing You died for their sins, was buried and rose again the third day. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here today. We're dismissed.